Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A major counseling ban case was argued before the Federal Court of Appeals just a week ago when I appeared before three federal judges. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, just a week ago, I was in a federal court of appeals with three federal judges in the appeal of our case involving counseling bans that arise out of Palm Beach County, Florida, and Boca Raton, a city in Florida, down in the South Florida area. And these bans are very similar to other bans around the country. They say, for example, that you cannot counsel or receive counsel if your goal is to change. I'm talking about, Matt, when the client comes in, they're the ones who sets the goals. It's not the counselor. The counselor listens to the client. What's going on in your life? What it is that's causing you stress? How do you ultimately want to resolve this? And then they try to help them reach that goal. So it's the client that actually sets the directive. Just like if you're driving in a vehicle, it's you that sets the GPS. The GPS helps you to arrive at the location that you've selected. It's the same kind of thing with counseling. Counselors don't push you into a mold, or not supposed to. They help you try to reach your objective. But when the client has an objective to change, then that counselor cannot provide the counseling. These are dangerous. In fact, Matt, there's a section in the law of these ordinances that say that you can't even help a client change romantic or physical attractions to a member of the same gender or sex. Now, get this. Someone comes in and they say, I have a romantic attraction to a person of the opposite sex. I don't want to have that romantic attraction. I need you to help me to overcome that. It may be, for example, someone who just doesn't want to be unfaithful to their spouse. In this case, of course, we're talking about people under 18. But you could have a 17-year-old that's married, and they're going to still be under this law. And say so have a boy and a girl, man and a woman, married. And this man comes in and says, I have these attractions to this other woman. Can you help me overcome it? The counselor can certainly do that. But if the same man came in and said, I have this attraction, it's unwanted, I don't want to have these feelings, to a member of the same gender or sex, I want you to help me overcome it. The counselor cannot do that. Wow. Counselor cannot help that young man overcome those attractions if it's to a person of the same gender. So you can see exactly what these laws are designed to do.
And these laws are targeted under a novel legal theory called professional speech, where the Ninth Circuit carved out this exception and said that there's a lower bar for the government to officially quash speech, whether it's affirmative speech or negative speech, if you will, being permitted to force somebody in a professional speech category to say something that is against them. And of course, it was NIFLA v. Becerra, where the Supreme Court made quick work of this notion of professional speech. Justice Thomas said speech is not unprotected just because it is uttered by professionals. So they did away with that. I'm going to assume here, Matt, did NIFLA come up at all during these arguments?
Well, certainly it came up, and it's come up in all of our lower court decisions. In fact, the lower court judge in this case that ruled against us recognized that NIFLA had actually been decided, but then says, oh, but NIFLA doesn't really resolve the situation. Well, you know what? NIFLA does, because in that case involving the crisis pregnancy centers, California was wanting to force them to promote abortion. And California argued, well, they're engaged in professional speech because the crisis pregnancy centers are licensed. Therefore, they're engaged in professional speech. And they pointed to the two California case and other case out of New Jersey counseling ban cases that allowed the states to ban counseling just like this because they said it involved, quote, professional speech, which doesn't give the same kind of protection. The Supreme Court said, no, we reject that. We've never created a category, never recognized a category of professional speech. We don't like to create new categories of speech for less protection, and therefore overruled the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and ultimately sided with us on the crisis pregnancy center cases. And the law in California is now gone with regards to the restriction in crisis pregnancy center cases. It cited two cases that actually dealt with this exact same counseling ban and overruled those two cases. So you can't get much more clear than that. And the good news, Holly, is we had, of course, at the Federal Court of Appeals, we have three judges. At the lower court, you have one judge. At the Federal Court of Appeals, unless it's called en banc, where you have the entire group of judges, we have three judges. Two of those three judges were Judge Donald Trump appointees. Mm. And so he has been appointing judges at a very rapid rate. And actually, these judges, the ones that I've seen, they're very strong in terms of following the rule of law. So all we're needing is someone to follow the Constitution, read the actual law, and just apply it. And the result is going to be that these particular policies, these ordinances, these laws will be struck down as unconstitutional.
You know, and it's just, it's common sense. Let's talk about for a second what happens when you have these bans. Let me take an example of like Elaine. Her daughter was 17 when she had a double mastectomy and a hysterectomy, and her parents didn't even know. In fact, Elaine found out about it on social media. She saw pictures of her daughter with her breasts cut off, and she didn't have any kind of psychologist, psychiatrist. She met with a therapist who had a master's in social work a couple times, but no licensed counselor. So now you have
That's Oregon.
Yeah, that was in Oregon. Yeah.
They can actually do that without their parents' knowledge or consent. As young as 14.
Without parental consent. That is criminal.
Right. So this is an example
so
of what happens.
Her mom actually looks at social media, doesn't know what her daughter just went through, because they do that in an outpatient clinic to avoid a hospitalization. It should be done in a hospital in Oregon, but they're trying to undermine the parents.
It shouldn't be done at all. Is the
well,
point.
It shouldn't be done at all.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about any
all,
kind
yeah.
of surgery
right.
of that nature.
As young as 14, they can do that.
So she finds out about her daughter when she sees her daughter's chest without her breast.
Right. So if the,
that is criminal.
The daughter would have been able to have counseling to deal with what issues she's really dealing with, instead of now she's walking around with a mutilated body.
Yeah, listen to what Justice Thomas said in NIFLA, and it addresses directly, while it was in the context of the crisis pregnancy centers, it addresses exactly this scenario. Justice Thomas said that if professional speech is not protected by the First Amendment, that gives, quote, states unfettered power to reduce a group's First Amendment rights by simply imposing a licensing requirement. Does that apply to these counselors directly,
because,
or what?
You know, certainly licensed counselors have licenses, but if the state wants to regulate anybody else and they're not able to, all they have to do is, you need to have a license to do that. And consequently, you're engaging in, quote, professional speech. That's the danger of it, and that's what the Supreme Court quickly pointed out. And so that puts some wind in our sails. So pray for this case. We don't know the result of the decision. The case was just argued before the panel of three judges last week, and I had the privilege of being able to argue before these judges. Continue to pray for the case. It's the Otto case, O-T-T-O. That's the name of one of our clients who's a professional counselor. We actually represent two professional counseling clients and their clients. And we're going to be continually involved in these kinds of challenges around the country to get one of these cases like this to the U.S. Supreme Court and strike them down all over the nation. So pray for the Otto case, and we have others as well. We don't know when the court will make a decision. It could be in a few months, and we'll certainly let you know the ultimate outcome. But this is a case that could easily go to the U.S. Supreme Court, And we have others in the pipeline as well that I'll argue later this year on the very similar issue in other states. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. These cases are not just theoretical issues. They're not just legal mumbo jumbo. Real people are involved in the lives of real individuals are hanging in the balance. So pray for ultimate victory in this case, the Otto case. lc.org, that's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.